morning and welcome to the third Sunday of Easter as we come to worship and celebrate our Lord. It's good to see you and a nice, beautiful day the Lord's given us. Can't think of a better place to be, gathering up as His body and coming to worship and celebrate all that He does for us every single day. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin. Monday on 9 to 12 on Mondays, ladies and gentlemen, a quilt project to support the veterans. Everyone's invited to participate. April the 14th, today at 5, the quarterly business meeting, choir practice on the 17th, Wednesday this week, and on Thursday the 18th at 10, Bible study. Also, there'll be a wedding shower honoring Zach Jenkins and Ken Chapman in the Fellowship Hall on April the 20th, and that is Saturday from 2 to 4. Ladies Auxiliary will meet on Sunday the 21st at 4 in the evening, and on Tuesday the 23rd at 6 o'clock, the deacons will meet. You also see a note about using the facilities. If you need to use those, see Donna. She books those events. Do we have any other announcements? Now let's begin worship. Read together the responsive reading in the bulletin. You have turned our mourning into dancing.
O Lord, we will give thanks to you forever.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
The darkness has been vanquished.
The great light of hope has come.
Let us worship and celebrate the good news. Father, we do thank you that we can come here today and just celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Lord. As we worship today, we honor your presence through the power, the anointing, the teaching of your Holy Spirit. Move among us, your people, and make us a stronger body. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 147. We're going to sing the marked verses of How Great Thou Art.
Oh,
Thank you. You may be seated. Mr. Brady Sexton has our scriptures this morning.
Good morning. The Old Testament reading comes from Psalms chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is now no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. The New Testament reading comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Continue to worship as we pray. Are there any names or needs we need to remember this morning?
I remember Kirby Page, and I also want to give a praise. Angie Alderman, we prayed for her. She's had both hands operated on. She's kind of going through some stuff you have. And she seems to be doing okay.
Great. Any others?
Thank you, everybody, for their prayers.
Mary Wall.
Mary Wall, okay.
She's having some heart procedures done this week.
Okay.
Gary Hick.
Okay, Gary Peck. Heck, yep. Any others?
Roy Eubanks.
Roy Eubanks family.
Zephyr McCoy.
Christopher McCoy, and who?
Right here. Crystal McCoy and my brother-in-law, Nathan Tremere. He's having second ankle surgery on Tuesday.
Okay, do we have someone in the back?
Burton Gay.
Burton Gay, all right. Continue to remember Greg, too. Yes.
And Marie,
Susan Marie, yes.
Rhonda.
And Rhonda.
Dennis and Susan Heath.
Okay, and Susan Heath. Any others?
Remember our young people. Remember, pray for our country.
Also remember the blessings that God gives to us each and every day. Be thankful.
Amen.
All right, let's take time together to pray this morning.
Let's all turn to 348 in our hymnal, stand and sing the marked verses of My Savior's Love.
Oh, give us every day.
Yes.
We can ask so many things of you, and you always come through. In one way or another, we don't even always know it, but you do.
Yes.
And now we give back a portion of what you give us to further your kingdom. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Stamp the doxology, please. May be seated. Our scripture text today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. And this is a scripture we'll make reference to today. And our thought today is the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Let's think about this as we prepare to share in communion together. This text is about taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, and the Apostle Paul is addressing this in the church at Corinth. There was an issue there that needed to be corrected in reference to them partaking together the Lord's Supper, and we can benefit from what he has to say. It appears that Paul has finally reached his limit with the Corinthians. He has had to address several issues in the church, and it seems like this now is the major tipping point. He speaks here more directly than he has before, and he does so because today's topic, the Lord's Supper, is not one that can be taken lightly or treated irreverently. And that's exactly what these Corinthians were doing in the church at Corinth. So Paul begins this section by saying in verse 17, the first verse, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good." Imagine that being said about a church. When you people and I are get together in reference to the Lord's Supper, in reference to saving souls, in reference to the kingdom's work, when y'all get together, your meetings do more harm than good. And that would be some repetition to carry, wouldn't it? What could cause Paul to say such a thing? That's what he's getting ready to address in verse 18. He picks up an idea that he has referenced in earlier chapters. In verse 18, he says, "In the first place, I hear that when you get together as a church, there are divisions among you." Ah, so they were divided. There were divisions in that church. And to some extent, he said, "I believe it." In other words, what he's saying is, "I really don't doubt it to be true." Because there's something just not right. And what he's saying, what he's been saying from the beginning about the various divisions that they existed in this church, there was these little groups, and each little group was certain that they were just a little bit better than the other group. Or this group believed they had just a little bit more truth than the other group had. And there was just a spiritual arrogance there in these groups, this me-ism, or maybe me-first-ism. And I know y'all have never had that before. But we need to learn from this, okay? This me-ism had carried over into the most sacred element of the early Christian worship, the Lord's Supper, or as others call it, the Holy Communion. Their observance of the communion was nothing like ours. Some in the church had decided, instead of just merely partaking of the bread and the cup, that they would make a full meal of it. They would bring their own food from home, and they would stuff themselves like it was Thanksgiving Day. They'd drink wine till they were tipsy, and then they would have their own little private party, while the others in the fellowship were excluded because they had nothing to eat for themselves. And then Paul said it this way in verse 21. "Here is the result of your meeting together. One person remains hungry and another one gets drunk." He said, "Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this matter? Certainly not." I can't imagine a church treating the Lord's Supper with such disrespect and treating others in their fellowship with such disdain. Towards the end of chapter 11, Paul makes it plain to the Corinthians just how serious the situation is. He lets them know in verse 27. He said, "When you take communion in such an unworthy manner, you're sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord, and you're bringing judgment upon yourselves." And he goes on to say in verse 30, "That is why many of you were weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." In other words, what he's saying is this is not a spiritual misdemeanor. It's not like talking during the announcements or scrolling on your phone during the sermon. This is serious business. This is no time for games, and this is nothing to be taken lightly of. God expects us to approach this sacred moment in worship reverently, respectfully, as if we're connecting ourselves to the most important event in all of history, because that's what we're doing. So this text is about taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, and we've seen the worst example of how not to do it, right? So the question we must ask ourselves today is, how should we approach this most sacred act of worship? How do we need to prepare to receive? How do we need to prepare to receive communion in a worthy manner? I want to mention three things before we begin that we need to really seriously consider, not just before we share in communion, but any time we come to the Lord in worship. The first thing is, and this is pretty obvious, I'm sure that you do it every day. Let's begin by taking a closer look at ourselves. Paul said in verse 20, he said, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. You know what everyone means?
Everyone.
And he goes on to say that those who ignore such self-examination bring judgment on themselves. In verse 31, he says, if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under judgment. So what's he saying here? He's saying it's up to you to judge yourself more strictly than you judge anyone else. Is that what we want to do naturally? Okay. It's up to you to hold yourself to a higher standard than you hold anyone else. Is that what we like to do? The temptation, of course, is to direct our energy towards grading those among us because we can't help but think that, hey, man, they need grading. And I'm just the one to do it. And we feel good about it because we think our actions and our attentions are beneficial to those poor old souls. It was Stephen Covey who said, we judge ourselves by our intentions and others' behavior. And that attitude must stop. We need to do away with judging others altogether, according to Jesus, and get serious about taking a closer look at ourselves and how we measure up to Jesus Christ. John Wesley developed a series of questions to be used in such self-examination. He had 22 of them. I'm not going to read them all, but here's 10 really good things to consider. Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am better than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Am I honest in all my acts and words? Or do I exaggerate? Am I a slave to fashion, to friends, a slave to work, or a slave to my habits? Do I give the Bible time to speak to me every day? When did I last speak to someone else about my faith? Do I pray about the way I spend money? Do I go to bed on time and get up on time? Is there anyone whom I dislike, disown, criticize, or hold in resentment? If so, what am I doing about it? Do I grumble or complain constantly? Is Christ real to me? He had 22, but these are just 10 that we can get started with every day. And when we do, I believe there'll be times when the Holy Spirit just speaks to us and moves us and convicts us and corrects us. And this can be a painful process. But Paul says we should judge ourselves. We should examine ourselves. He says, when we're judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So if you're serious about your Christian faith and want to be serious about taking communion in a worthy manner, begin by taking a closer look at yourself. The second thing that we need to be reminded of is very important is this is an act of worship, and we need to make this act of worship a genuine connection with Christ and with his people. We call it communion because we're to partake of this sacrament together with one another. We're his body. We're the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I like all the parts of my body. I've had a hand that hadn't wanted to cooperate here last month or so, and I really missed it, you know? And you know, it made life difficult for me when it didn't work like I wanted it to, especially being right-handed. It affected just about everything that I do. And I was not better because this hand didn't want to cooperate and be in unity with the rest of my body. I was weakened. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. Every person is here for a reason. And we need to take our relationship with one another and with Christ serious. Because only when we do his work the way he wants us to do it together are we a strong body. So observing the Lord's Supper is not just an act of worship. It's an act of fellowship. It's fellowship together with Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the closer we are to Christ, the closer we are with one another. When you find divisions or you find people that are not in unity with one another, you'll find people who are not in love with Christ. And Paul reminds us of this. It's an act of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That's why you don't serve yourself in communion. That's why it's to be observed in fellowship with God's people. Years ago, I attended a church where families took communion together. Mom and dad and kids would sit together and they'd share the bread and the cup. They'd pray together, and I tell you, it looked real nice. Until you noticed all those people that came to church alone. They were sitting there alone by themselves, taking communion, feeling left out. And I think it's great for families to share communion together. But we need to include the entire family. Huh? We need to include the whole body of Christ in this celebration. We need to share it with those we may not know so well. We need to share it with those that maybe we tend to avoid sometimes. We need to allow ourselves to be bound together as one, as God's people, with a cord that cannot be broken, as we celebrate Christ and what he has done for all of us together. Communion is not intended to be exclusively your moment with God. It's not just about you or me receiving the sacrament. That's part of it, but not all of it. Communion is intended to be a moment of unity and fellowship with others, where together we experience the love and the grace of God through Jesus Christ, who is here to help us always in our greatest time of need. We are his body, and he loves us dearly. So if you're serious about your Christian faith, and you don't want to be, and you want to be serious about taking communion in a worthy manner, then make sure the celebration of the Lord's Supper becomes a time of connection with Jesus Christ and his body. And the third thing is, we must always remember what this is all about. Paul, in verse 23 through 26, here's what he said. For I receive from the Lord what I also passed on to you. So he says, I received this from the Lord, and I'm passing it on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until it comes." This is such a simple instruction, isn't it? I mean, it's almost impossible to get it wrong. You take that bread, give thanks. Remember, it was my body that was broken for you. When you drink from the cup, remember, it's the new covenant in my blood. I mean, it's hard to get that wrong, isn't it? But yet they had it wrong in Corinth. This is an act of worship that's intended to be an observance of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. It's to be a celebration of our salvation from sin. It's to be about our fellowship with Christ and with his body. It's an act designed to bind us together in unity. But unfortunately, there are moments when we allow our differences to divide us and to weaken his body. Unfortunately, there are seasons when we give in to divisiveness, competing with and criticizing others. We must allow this element of worship to become about. We shouldn't allow it to become about who is the greatest and who is the least. Because the truth is, we're all the least. We're all like the publican standing in the back of the room saying, "Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." As we stand with one another at the foot of the cross, we all stand together on level ground. And for this reason, I remind you that this table is not our table. It's the Lord's table. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, all who earnestly repent of their sin, all who seek to live in peace with one another. If Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to share in this moment together with us all. As we break the bread, we're reminded of the body of Christ, which was broken for all of us. As Jesus died on the cross, the penalty of our sin died with him. You could say the power of sin was destroyed once and for all. His broken body, his sacrificial death, paved the way for our salvation. And as we drink this cup, we're reminded of how the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Now I realize in this 21st century in which we live, this ritual might seem ancient and archaic. We may not truly be able to understand this ritual altogether. But we do understand the concept of restitution. Every culture and every age has a custom of restitution. How the one who has done wrong can be restored to a right standing with others. Sometimes it involves paying back money. Sometimes it involves spending time in prison. Sometimes it might even involve paying your debt to society with your life. We understand the concept of restitution. Restitution must be made. The blood of Christ symbolizes God's act of restitution and restoration with all humankind. It was made on our behalf. It's where the wrong you've done has been made right, washed away, forgiven, forgotten, dispunged, purged for all eternity. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we celebrate the unlimited mercy of our gracious Heavenly Father. And we solemnly celebrate the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we will come together in this act of worship. And that's what Holy Communion does. It connects us together as brothers and sisters. It connects us in our relationship deeply to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It positions us to be ready to be recipients of the power of His Holy Spirit. And if you're ready, you can partake of the sacrament today in a worthy manner. You begin by taking a closer look at yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you as you confess your brokenness to Him. Ask the Lord to cleanse you from all unrighteousness by the power of the cross and by the power of His blood. And remember the words of Paul. He said, "Church, examine yourselves." And by that he means we need to examine our motives, test our hearts, and come to this holy act of worship in reverence. Let us bow for a moment.
raised a symbol of the body of Christ. I don't know how he did it, but he died on the cross. His body was broken for our sins. And not just ours, the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. Really hard to comprehend. But it happened that way. Jesus said, it's all for you. You break this bread together. Remember. The old covenant was hard to keep. They sacrificed animals to cover and shed the blood to cover their sins. And imagine if we still had to do that today as simple as we are. It would be 24/7 just like it was then. So it was quite a work, a religious thing to do. When Christ shed his blood on the cross, that blood was shed one time. And that was the end of it. And that's the way God wanted it to be. He had his only begotten Son. I said, it's all you drink, remember the new covenant that was made in my blood, once and for all. That's true. Father, we come together in fellowship with you, with your people. We have felt the presence of your Holy Spirit. Together we come to your table and share a great gift that you offer to us in believe. Salvation through Christ our Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, our motives, confess our sins, and seek to renew in our faith and our fellowship with you through Christ our Savior. We love you. We love our people here. We pray that we can be strong, a strong church, a strong body for the call for Christ and the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn to 153 in our hymnal, stand and sing the first and last verses of Worthy of Worship.
Again, it's good to see you and to worship with you today. Thanks for being here, bringing the spirit of worship. Carry that same spirit out into the world. Just show it off to somebody, all right? Anybody have anything to say before we leave?
I do.
Yes, come on.
to remind you of our prayer team. Mm-hmm. We've had some wonderful praise reports, people we've been, and issues we've been praying for. So if you have something you want us to pray about, just let me know and we will do that very thing. And also, if you are a prayer warrior and would like to join this prayer team, we'd be most happy to have you. Mm-hmm. That brings me to the second thing I want to say. ever since our leap day of prayer, I've had people say, oh, it was wonderful, let's do it again. Well, we had about 28 people participate that day. But I'm mulling around and praying about a prayer thing that we can all participate in. So when the Spirit gets it solid in my mind, I'll let you know. But stay tuned. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Have a good week and a wonderful day. See you at 5. Tony, would you dismiss us?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful to be in your house today and worship you. And Lord, take this communion together as a family. Lord, we just ask you to be with us as we go out into the world, Lord, that we may be a light to others. And Lord, just give us safe traveling mercies. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all the many blessings you give us. We ask these things you bless in holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.